Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beattie of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during July. As always, you'll see more of the night's offerings if you can find a wide open spot that's far away from bright lights. For us northerners, July is a time of long hot days and short nights. There's often a haze permeating the sky, an indication that the air is stagnant. On hazy nights, you'll see that the stars don't seem to twinkle very much, because we're seeing them through relatively calm air. Astronomers refer to this as good seeing, because what you see through a telescope looks steadier than would normally be the case. Conversely, when a cold front replaces the muggy haze with dry, refreshing air, the sky's transparency usually goes up. It looks clearer, and you can spot fainter stars. But cold fronts usually come with turbulence that makes the seeing worse, and the stars twinkle more. Okay, time for a pop quiz. Is the Earth closer or farther from the Sun at this time of year? You might think it's closer because of summer's heat, but don't forget that it's winter right now for everyone living south of the equator. Anyway, on July 6th, the Earth reaches aphelion, the point in its orbit most distant from the Sun. On that date, we're 1.7% farther away than on average. As July opens, there's an interesting parade going on in the western evening sky. If you look about an hour after sunset, you'll see brilliant Venus, dazzling and unmistakable. Extending to its upper left is a line of three other stars, all about the same brightness and equally spaced. Actually, only the one closest to Venus is really a star, called Regulus. To its upper left is slightly redder Mars, the red planet, and bringing up the rear is Saturn. This whole celestial lineup is four times the width of your fist held at arm's length. As July marches on, Venus glides closer to Regulus until, on the 9th, they're only a degree apart in the sky. You can cover them both with your outstretched pinky finger. After that, the arrangement gets tighter, shrinking to about two fists wide by mid-month, as Mars closes in on Saturn and Venus. By the time July ends, Mars and Saturn appear as a faint double star, less than 2 degrees apart, and Regulus has drifted to the lower right, deep into the twilight, where it's joined by a new arrival, Mercury. This innermost planet becomes a little higher up in August, but it's worth looking for it in late July if you've got a clear night and an unobstructed western horizon. Since it's only been a few weeks since the June solstice, the sky takes its time getting fully dark these nights. Here in the Boston area, for example, the last bit of twilight lingers in the west until about 10:30. That leaves only 4.5 hours to revel in the star-spangled night before dawn begins to creep up in the east. Once it does get good and dark, turn left from the planet parade to face south, where you'll find the stars of Scorpius. This is one of those constellations that really looks like its namesake. Start by finding the bright star that marks the Scorpion's heart. This reddish star is Antares, which means rival of Mars. Look to its right for a curved stack of three medium bright stars that mark the claws. On the other side of Antares, swinging to the lower left and then curling up, are a line of stars marking the Scorpion's body, tail, and upturned stinger. Depending on your latitude and what blocks your view to the south, you might not see the whole tail. In Greek mythology, this venomous critter put an end to the mighty and boastful Orion, and it's no accident that the hunter is ducking out of view in the west whenever the scorpion is rising up in the east. If you're up late in the evening, look for Jupiter rising in the east just about when Saturn is setting in the west, but you'll need to be patient. The King of Planets doesn't make an entrance until about midnight at the beginning of July, but he hits the celestial stage earlier, about 10:30 by month's end. There's not a whole lot going on in the morning sky before dawn, so for the most part, I'll let you sleep in this month. But you might want to stumble outside an hour before sunrise on July 8th. Do that, and you'll be treated to the sight of a lovely crescent moon with the Pleiades star cluster perched above it. New moon comes 3 days later, and this month, that alignment of sun, moon, and earth results in a total solar eclipse. Unfortunately, the thin path of totality hardly touches dry land as it crosses the Pacific Ocean. A few lucky eclipse-goers will see the sun completely gobbled up from spots in French Polynesia, from Easter Island, and from a bit of South America. The moon returns to full on July 26th. Next month, we'll look for steam coming from a celestial teapot and what that has to do with the Milky Way. Until then, I wish you clear skies.